We have to accept the fact that our bodies and brains change as we get older. We don't have to like it, but we have to accept it. There's a difference between acceptance and treating decline as an inevitability. If there's one bit of advice that comes ringing out from a new book from an Ashland chiropractor, it's that you don't have to regard mental decline as something that's going to happen. The book is the work of John Kalb, a chiropractor and author, and it is called Keep Your Marbles, Your Game Plan for a Healthy Brain. John Kalb is in the studio with me. Good to see you, John.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here, Jeff.
You also wrote a book called Winning at Aging, so obviously your concerns go well beyond the usual realm of chiropractic work.
Yeah, very, very broad scope approach, and as I started aging and as my patients were aging, I decided, well, maybe I should dive into this whole thing and figure out how to do it with class and style and gracefully. It isn't for sissies getting older, but it's our only alternative to dying young, so we might as well embrace it.
Yeah, it's like my grandmother used to say, whatever you do, don't get old. But
too late for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she lived to be almost 90. Were there some specific things in your own life and experience that prompted this book in particular?
Definitely. My beloved mother had 94 great years. She was my model of healthy aging, which I acknowledged in the previous book. And then around 94, she started going downhill and developed Alzheimer's. And it was the saddest thing because she not only began to forget who I was, which broke my heart because we were really close, and I'd call her every week. I'd visit her in New York as often as I could. And then she forgot who she was, and then she died in 96, so it was a tragic thing. So that motivated me, of course. I didn't want that to happen to me, and then as I started doing the research, I've uncovered amazing information. I've done the heavy lifting and put it into, an easily read book to help prevent this happening to my readers, to their family, their parents, whatever. It's a huge thing now that we're facing.
In contrast to your mother's experience, though, you tell the story in the book of your friend Larry, who
right.
actually looked younger between times you saw him. How do you do that?
Yeah, well, and of course, I changed the names to protect the innocent or the
okay.
guilty as me. But yeah, so he had been just under unbelievable stress, working like 60 hours with huge deadlines. He was a graphic artist and going through an ugly divorce and just kind of dying inside and kind of crumpling up. He was about 60 at the time. And then I didn't see him for a few years. And the next time I saw him, he was bouncing around the gym, he looked taller, happy. I go, what happened to you? He says, well, I finished the divorce. I retired. I'm doing what I love. I've got a new romantic interest in my life. I'm eating better. I have time to play my guitar, you know, traveling, doing all the good things. So I kind of use that as a model that we can change. And that's one of the big things I uncovered. We used to think, and this is what I learned in grad school, that the brain structure and function is pretty much fixed. A lot of it's genetic, and then there's, you know, our environmental or our growth as children, and then it's kind of set. And we found out it's just the opposite. The brain is the most adaptable organ in the body, but it's also the most sensitive. So, and now we face a plethora of threats and challenges in our modern technological world. So we need to know how to defend ourselves and keep that brain perking along.
So that's a big one, though. I mean, this idea of the decline of the brain as inevitable, and there's a whole section right in the mm-hmm. front of the book where you bust a couple of myths. And
exactly.
So we have learned about things like parts of the brain that can take over for others that have been damaged.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of information out there about the plasticity of
right.
the brain, its ability to learn new things.
Yeah. So neuroplasticity is a huge thing, that the brain is adaptable, plastic, and it changes moment by moment. And now with the high-tech scanning, they can actually see changes in the synapses, which are the interconnections between the nerve cells. And now we've discovered, we as in science, has discovered neurogenesis that, in a way I say it, is baby brain cells are waiting to be born, and they're stimulated by certain lifestyle factors that then grow into integrated brain cells, and it's integral and essential for actually how we learn.
John Kalb is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Ashland chiropractor and author of two books about aging. His latest is called Keep Your Marbles, Your Game Plan for a Healthy Brain. He'll be at Bloomsbury Books on Thursday evening in Ashland at 7 o'clock and at the Ashland Public Library on Sunday next at 2:30 in the afternoon. He's here now. Got a question or comment? We'd like to hear from you. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So I guess the question is, for the people who've gotten used to the idea of getting a little more sedentary as they mm-hmm. go, do we have to radically change our lives?
Well, of course not. That's probably not going to work. But I like to call it baby steps, gradual action steps. And it's not just, you know, we all kind of know we should be exercising, eating well, challenging our brain, you know, doing Sudoku or crosswords. But there's a whole lot more out there. And also translating what we know we should do to actually doing it, I've noticed in many years of practice, and my father was a great self-saboteur, so it really irked me, and I'm very disciplined compared to a lot of folks. So patients would say, oh, yeah, I got to exercise, I got to do those back stretches, I got to eat better, and then they don't follow through. They come crawling back in with the same thing. No, I didn't do that, didn't do this. So I also include in the book two chapters, one on kind of a scientific approach to goal setting and goal attainment, and then another chapter, which I think is pretty profound. It's about how to make changes without relying on willpower, because it turns out most of us are willpower weaklings, you know, that if we rely on willpower, it's just not going to happen. Think of New Year's resolutions and how many of those, you know,
right.
bomb out after a couple of weeks. So it's a universal problem. So one of the unique things about my book, Keep Your Marbles, is that I actually have a solution for self-sabotage.
Like what, for example?
Well, okay, so I lead people through a simple process to get in touch with our core values, and everyone's are different. Mine happen to be freedom, truth, and service. You know, everything from beauty, creativity, of course, family, peace, justice, sustainability. I have a list of about 90 in the book and a process to winnow them down to about three or four. So when you have an idea of what your core values are, it answers the question like, why bother? You know, what gets you out of bed in the morning? What jazzes you? So first you connect with what's really important, and you connect your goals and your new health habits to your values. Then you look at, if I don't accomplish that goal, if I don't eat right, if I continue to be addicted to sugar or whatever, then how's that going to hurt my expression of my values? How's it going to affect my family, the things that I love? So you hook up those two things. But then there's a deeper dive. Carl Jung called it the shadow. Mm-hmm. Modern research calls it self-defeating behaviors. But we want to ask, I guess you'd call it the Dr. Phil question. You know, what are you getting out of not doing what you say you want to do? And I've been involved with men's work over the years, and at the beginning of this very powerful training, through the Mankind Project, they said, you know, why are you here? You know, what do you want to get? And the second one was, what is the risk if you actually got it? Because if you want it but you don't have it, there's something in the way. And I said, aha, I can translate this into health and wellness.
So it really is about wrapping everything together. It's body,
right.
mind, it's spirit.
Right.
And so, you know, the things that you don't do to help yourself, you're really not doing to help your values, therefore potentially the human race as well.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a research, they call it the George Bailey question. So I integrate
George Bailey
this,
as in It's a Wonderful
yeah,
Life.
Yeah, as in Wonderful Life. Most of your listeners have probably seen the film many times, as I have, which is if you don't accomplish this goal, like George Bailey got to see what the world would be like if he had never lived. So the George Bailey question relative to your goals is, if you don't accomplish this, how will you be worse off, and your family, your friends, and the world? So I find if it's just for me, it doesn't motivate me that much, but still good. I mean, we want to know that's going to help me too, but also how's it going to affect the people around me that I care about? So that's a little kick in the butt that helps. But I like what you said. This is a comprehensive approach, but it's, like I said, easy to read. They say the brain's the most complicated structure that we know of, but brain health doesn't have to be that complicated. So I have a step-by-step approach, and it involves our, you know, physical lifestyle, involves our attitude and mindset, which is huge, and integrating the whole thing into with balance, and then, you know, the reaping the benefits of a healthy brain, happiness, and growing wisdom as we age. And then finally, the greatest paradox of them all is that self-transcendence. So after we create this great healthy body and brain, and we know ourselves, which is part of the process, then we have to figure out how to transcend ourselves, meaning connecting to something larger than ourselves, a higher purpose or power, and expanding our circle of concern and compassion.
John Kalb is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a chiropractor in Ashland and the author of Keep Your Marbles, Your Game Plan for a Healthy Brain. You can join the conversation on the Exchange, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here is Ann in Eugene. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. So given the fact that 70% of American adults are either overweight or obese, 10% are addicted to drugs, and 13% are addicted to alcohol, and only 21% of American adults exercise regularly, aren't we going to be inundated with elderly people with dementia? Thank you.
Thank you, Ann.
Exactly right, and that's one of the points I make in the book. There's 10,000 of us baby boomers turning 65 every day.
Every day.
Mm-hmm. And I hate to say this, a third of us will die of dementia and Alzheimer's.
Wow.
A third of us. So when you with a group of mature people, almost half are going to die of Alzheimer's and dementia. So yeah, we're facing a tidal wave, but there's good news that prevention is the key. Orthodox medicine has not found a treatment or a cure. There's no treatment that actually slows or helps the overall process.
So don't wait for the miracle drug.
Yeah, don't wait for the miracle drug. And you know, I had to be a little more positive initially than I was in the book as I was editing, because there is now a functional medicine or holistic approach. Dr. Dale Bredesen.
He's been on the show, yeah.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah, with the end of Alzheimer's. I had read his research papers, and then he came out with this amazing book. So I kind of edited my book. My book, the approach is prevention and lifestyle, mm-hmm. but I get into some of Dale's insights, which are profound. So medicine is looking for that silver bullet. They're looking for the one drug. They're keying in on beta amyloid. And so Dale says that beta amyloid is produced by the brain. It has some healthy functions, mm-hmm. but the brain overproduces it when the brain is under threat. Well, what are the threats to the brain? So he's got like three or four main ones: toxicity, inflammation, excess blood sugar, and just a lack of nutrients and hormones. So if we, it's like 36 holes in the roof. You don't just want to address, right. Patch the one or two holes. So my book is completely compatible with what Dale is saying, and so. But I want to catch it a little bit earlier.
So let's move into the practicality, because if you're thinking, well, how am I going to patch those holes? What do I do? Well, the first subject area that gets its own chapter is exercise. So first of all, you talk about killer chairs in there. I noticed.
Oh, yeah.
So sit down less for one thing.
Yeah. So we should be more afraid of chairs than sharks, because the likelihood of being hurt by a shark attack is minuscule, but the likelihood we're being hurt by our chairs is pretty major. Like the last caller had those statistics right. You know, 70% of us are overweight or obese, and sedentary lifestyle is one of the main things. So we have to get up out of the chair. We don't have to go to the gym if we're allergic to the E word, exercise. We just need to move, and then from there, we can take it up a notch at a time. I say any exercise is good, the more the better. And it turns out the more intense, the better. Because if we're doing for our own conditioning level, so it's safe for everyone, but we can cut the recommendation is 150 minutes or 2.5 hours a week of moderate exercise. But if we do intense exercise for us, as in hill climbing or high intensity interval training, then we cut that requirement in half. And we also should be working against resistance, as in weights or machines or bands and that kind of thing. The exercise is just the beginning, but it's one of the most important things. So anything that you do to amp it up even a little bit will help. And it's a upward spiral, because as we start to even making a goal, you know, I want a healthier brain, and then we have to be specific. So I want to at least, you know, walk 3 times a week for 10 minutes or whatever. Even setting a healthy goal, we start to feel better. That's been shown in the happiness research.
Just setting the goal even before you do the work.
Yeah, I call it an authentic goal, or a goal that's in line with our values, already starts to make us feel better. Then as we start to walk or do whatever we said that we were going to do, we get the benefits from that, and then we start making better choices after, not necessarily 3 weeks is what everyone says, but it's variable. These things become a healthy habit, and then they take almost no willpower, almost no effort. We go from inertia to momentum, and then we can move on to the next lifestyle change.
That does seem to be a big one, getting in motion in the first place. And
right.
You just try to keep that inertia and stay in motion.
Inertia, yeah. So we just stand up, you know. I wish I could, but I'm all strapped in here.
It's a microphone.
Microphone.
The next place will have, yeah, mic stands.
So, yeah, I'm moving my arms around. So, yeah, so just wherever you are, accept it. Don't criticize. Don't judge. And just move ahead one baby step at a time. And it's all spelled out in the book.
John Kalb's book is called Keep Your Marbles, Your Game Plan for a Healthy Brain. He's a chiropractor doing business in Ashland. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Peter in Ashland. Welcome to The Exchange.
Good morning. I'm wondering if you're familiar with any, any experience with stem cell activators with respect to the brain. And if not, or if you care to take on the additional one, which I know is easier to grab onto, is the cholesterol relationship to protecting the brain, and also the impact of pharmaceuticals on the brain.
Stem cells, cholesterol, and pharmaceuticals.
Well, I'll just touch on the stem cells that in the brain, they're called progenitor neural stem cells.
Is this the neurogenesis you're
talking
about?
Yeah, so the brain has these baby brain cells, and they're stimulated. The number one thing that stimulates baby brain cells to be born into nerve cells is exercise.
Okay, so not just sitting there doing Sudoku. Yeah.
But I do have 12 chapters on these 12 lifestyle factors. Everyone amps up neurogenesis in the brain. Mm-hmm. And I have a whole chapter on nutritional supplements, the scientific approach. That chapter alone has 99 medical journal references, because there's a lot of naysayers out there about supplements. So I say this is supplementation 2.0 or 3.0. Mm-hmm. It's not just going to the health food store and going eeny, meeny, miny, mo. But there's a science behind it now. So that, you know, just touch on the stem cell question. Cholesterol, that's great, because I have a slogan in the book, which is blaming heart attacks on cholesterol is like blaming a cut finger on the Band-Aid. The cholesterol is actually the protective bandage the body puts over this lesion in the artery, which is actually caused by inflammation, oxidation, and other negative factors. So if we follow through with our healthy lifestyle, then our cholesterol is not an issue. And I have a whole section on the cholesterol scam or hype. It's very controversial, but it looks like, from the best research that I've read, unbiased, this is where bias rears its ugly head, because there's been a lot of, like with tobacco, and then with sugar versus fat, it was the same deal. It was lobbying, it was lying, it was bribing doctors to falsify. I mean, it's just ugly. Cholesterol is similar, too. Unbiased research says that for most people, cholesterol is not a factor. And if it goes too low, that's a problem too, because cholesterol is used in the brain to make myelin, mm-hmm. which wraps our important nerves and makes them function better. Yeah. So actually, we die without cholesterol. So the body didn't make a mistake. But it, you know, if everything is in balance or close to it, it's not an issue. And saturated fat is not a cause of heart disease either. It's basically sugar is what my research uncovered.
Which I noticed that, that whole section about changing your oil, get a lot of the sugar out of your diet.
Yeah.
So beyond diet and supplements, though, I mean, we want to get to a section here about challenging your mind.
Yes.
Because this is where you get to art and languages and music and dancing.
Yeah, all that fun
you're
stuff.
You're really trying to light up parts of your brain that haven't been lit up for a long time, if ever, it sounds like.
Yeah, the other main way, going back to the caller, to stimulate the brain and the neurogenesis is learning something new every day. And so computer brain games are a little controversial because there's some evidence that they really do help and translate into the rest of our life and help the brain, but the evidence isn't ironclad yet. But what is really clear is that if we have to be challenged, and we also want to be motivated. So we want to do something that we enjoy, we feel challenged, but then we'll learn and grow. So they call it the flow state, which is a balance between our skill and our challenge. So whether it's a computer game, whether it's learning how to draw, going to dance classes, you know, we just keep going from the, and I'm like two left feet. I went to three beginner swing classes to match my wife's one beginner class, and then finally we met in the advanced beginners, uh-huh. And I could hold my own. But then we move up to intermediate. So whatever we're doing,
we
want to challenge ourselves, want to learn something new. They call this cognitive reserve, which is based on our education as we're growing up, but also lifelong learning. So I also teach at OLLI, the Osher Lifelong Learning mm-hmm. Institute, out of the college here. And, we have over 2,000, over 50 students and over 100 volunteer teachers. And so, you know, learn something new. Challenge your mind.
Just a couple of seconds to make one big point here, which is that connecting with other people is huge, it sounds like, later in life.
Right. We know that Britain appointed a minister of loneliness, and this is no joke, because feeling isolated and alone, and you can do that in a crowd, you might have a lot of Facebook friends, but it's as bad as smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. So we need to connect and feel like we belong. So reach out and keep your friends and expand your circles.
All kinds of stuff about how to keep your brain supple as you age. John Kalb is an Ashland chiropractor. His book is called Keep Your Marbles, Your Game Plan for a Healthy Brain. He'll be at the Bloomsbury Books in Ashland on Thursday evening at 7, at the Ashland Library on Sunday at 2:30. Thanks for joining us in the studio today.
My pleasure, Jeffrey.